Tanur Rabbanan on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the last line. Dini Mamnos Bishlosha. And then we turn to Daf Hey Amud Aleph. V'imhaya Mumcha L'Rabim Don Afilu Yechidi. Which means, number one, L'Rabim, he has a lot of experience in the past. He's already judged many cases. And he was accepted universally in the Jewish community as a reliable judge. That's called a mumcha l'rabim. He has expert knowledge. He knows the Mishnah. He knows the Talmud. He knows how to make a judgment call, what we call shikul hadas. He has experience for many years. And in many cases, he judged, and he has a very good record. We never saw that he made any mistakes. So he's called a mumcha l'rabim. And the Gemara establishes, based on this braisa, don afilu yechidi. If you take a look at Rashi on the top of Daf Hei Amud Aleph, dichsiv, according to Rashi, this halach in the braisa is derived from a pasuk. It says in Parshas Kedoshim, "Bitzedek tishpot," with justice you shall judge, and "you shall judge" is written in the singular, implying that there is a judge that can be relied upon, and his decision is valid, even though he's only one single judge. Rashi adds, "Ukasavar ain kan eruv parshios." When it says Elohim, Elohim, Elohim three times, which teaches us that you need three judges for court, that only is to be understood in its context, and that's the case of gzela, but it does not apply in the cases of halvos, etc., in other monetary cases. Therefore, the absence of Elohim times three, we go back to the pasuk b'tzedek tishpot amisecha, and we establish that one mumche is enough. Tosis has a problem over here, because if Rashi is invoking the pasuk b'tzedek tishpot, that itself should teach me that one judge is enough, and Rashi didn't have to enter into the whole question about erev parashiyos, not erev parashiyos. What difference does it make if the Torah recognizes one judge? It means the Torah is giving us two options, whether it's three judges or one judge. And this Tosis, Dira Maskel V'im, raises a lot of questions on this sugya and on Rashi. But for today, what we want to study is the Shitas HaRambam. So I photocopied a page for you, because he really collects all the different sources that we need for this analysis. And we're going to start with the Rambam in Perek Beis, Mehilchas Sanhedrin, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says the following: Echad shehaya mumcha l'rabim, if he is, as we described before in great detail, a mumcha l'rabim, then here are the following options. O notel rishus mi bezdin, or let's say in a case where he hasn't had all that much experience, he's not famous out there in the public as a reliable judge, but he does have what's called rishus mi bezdin. That means that the court, we have to know which bezdin, of course, but the court recognized and ordained him as a mumcha, as an expert. Says the Rambam, "Areze mutolo ladun yechidi." We have no problem, says the Rambam, allowing him to judge alone, because he's a mumcha l'rabim. However, here's the punchline in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Aval lo chashiv bezdin." We should not mistakenly understand, that this mumcha has the status of a bezdin. He can judge, but he's not a bezdin. Notice the Rambam is establishing two dimensions. There's one halacha of a bezdin, and the din that is issued by the Beis Din is valid as a Beis Din. And then we have another kind of din, which is a din, but without Beis Din. And that's called the Yachid Mumcha. That's going to be a Mumcha L'Rabim, and his din is valid. We recognize it, but it's not a Beis Din. So what we want to understand is, within the framework of the Rambam, what is the significance, the import of these two dimensions? What difference does it make whether or not he's a Beis Din? If you're recognizing his din, then who cares if he's Beis Din or he's not Beis Din? So for this, we want to fast forward to the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin. And the Rambam says the following. Just by way of introduction, let's point out that there's a halacha called Hodah B'Beis Din. What does that mean? If, let's say, you and I are standing outside of a Beis Din, and you claim that I owe you a certain amount of money, and I nod my head in approval, as if to say, I admit that I owe that money. That hodah, that admission, is not valid. It's not binding, because it's outside of Beis Din. What people do outside of Beis Din is not necessarily serious, and he can come by and say, Mishata Yisibach. You know, I didn't want to get into a fight with you. I didn't want to argue with you and put up a whole fuss here and reject your claim. But if that same hodah took place in the presence of Beis Din, then it becomes a binding hodah. The halacha recognizes that confession as such, and he'll have to pay. So the Rambam writes in Perek Hei Milcha Sanhedrin, Yochid Shu Mumcha L'Rabim, that's our sugi or dafei, Afal Pishu Don Dini Mamanos Yechidi, he does have the authority to issue a verdict alone, without any other dayanim, in monetary law. Nevertheless, Ein Hodah B'fun of Hodah B'Beis Din. The status of his din, although it's valid, is not that of a Beis Din. He is a separate entity. He can create a din, but we shouldn't mistakenly recognize him as a Beis Din. And the Rambam says that's going to make a difference in halacha. What's going to be the nafkamina? Hodah b'fanav. Again, we make a distinction between hodah in front of a Beis Din, which is binding and irretractable, and hodah outside of Beis Din, which means that he can always claim, I wasn't serious about this admission of payment. What happens, asks the Rambam, if he is mode a hodah, let's say Reuven claims Shimon and Shimon says, yes, I owe you, in front of one judge, and that judge has the ability to judge the case, he's a mumcha l'rabim. Will that hodah be binding or not? I'll read it to you one more time so you hear it from the Rambam's mouth. The Rambam says, Yochid shu mumcha l'rabim, afal pi shu don dini mamonos yechidi, ein hodah b'fun of hodah b'beis din. Is the hodah binding then according to the Rambam? The answer is, no, it's not binding. Why? Because the hodah has to be in front of Beis Din. So even though you have someone who's roi ladun, he has the power, the authority to give a judgment, and his verdict is binding, but nevertheless he's not a Beis Din. And the Rambam goes a step further. He says that it doesn't matter whether he has smicha or not. Even if he's a musmach ish mi pi ish, he's not just a mumcha l'rabim, as we described him earlier, that he has experience, he has a great track record, we've used him on many different occasions to determine the law, he never made a mistake in his judgment. No. I'm going to upgrade him to a higher level. He's even a samuch. He has smicha in an unbroken tradition all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, he is not a Beis Din. He still remains a Yochid. Aval Ashlosha, when you have a Beis Din that's made up of three, Aval Bishenom Smuchim, even if they don't have Smicha, Harein Hedyotos, they are intelligent people, they can make a judgment, but they don't have the expertise, nor do they have the ordination that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein Ani Kori Bayim Elohim, right, the Torah says Elohim, meaning a samuch, and these three judges, with all due respect, do not have smicha. Nevertheless, anyone who is sued in a court and he confesses that he owes the money, that confession is absolutely binding. Okay. It's irretractable. Why? Because they have the status of Beis Din. So here's the paradox. You have one person who's a samuch, and three people who are hedyotas. In the case of one judge who's a samuch, he can issue a decision, but hodah is hodah outside of Beis Din, and therefore it's not binding. In the case of three hedyotas, they don't have smicha, but yet they form a Beis Din, and hodah b'fneim is binding.
This limitation on the Yochid Mumcha, is it Dak Bahedos or some Kabbalah's Eidos?
That's what we're going to discuss now. That's our next subject.
It's almost forcing a single judge to make a judgment. An admission isn't... He has to make a judgment, because you're saying an admission in front of a...
Correct. In other words, the case of three hedyotos means that ball game over, so to speak. You know, finito. He made a hodah, he's got to pay. I don't have to judge the case. And even if Aiden would come in and testify against this hodah, it would make no scratch of a difference, because hodah is an absolute hischaivus. But in the case of one judge, even though he's on the highest level, he's a samuch, hodah b'fanav is not. So now we have to start the case, as you say very well, and we have to deduce evidence and see if we can prove that he has to pay, but his admission is not a proof. It's just not valid. It's outside of Beis Din. The Rambam says this applies in the opposite direction, called kofer b'fneihem. It's not just in the case of hodah, but in the case of kofer b'fneihem. Now here, to appreciate what kofer b'fneihem means, we have to introduce another halacha. And that's called huchsa kafran. What that means is that if a person denies a claim, and we prove that he is lying, then his status in halacha changes. From now on, he no longer has a chazaka of any individual, like any individual that we could rely on his... Again, we'll always have to bring evidence, but there's a certain significance to a Tainus Baal Din. He doesn't have the ability of a Tainus Baal Din because he's a Kafran. He denied a claim in Beis Din, and we were able to deduce evidence that claim was a true claim, and that he perjured himself or lied in front of the Beis Din. So the Rambam wants to know what happens if a person denies a claim. He's a Kafran. He does so in front of three Edyotos. Or alternatively, he does it in front of one Yachid Mumchel Rabim, who might be even a Samuch. And the Rambam says that Kfira, when he denies the claim, if it's in front of one Yachid, it's meaningless. It has no binding status, says the Rambam, because it's outside of Beis Din. When a person denies a claim outside of Beis Din, that has no validity to it, no significance to it. But if it was in front of three Edyotos, it's a Kofer Bifneam, and now we can prove that he lied, and in truth, he owed that money. Achach bo edim, huchso kafran. He has a new status, which is called huchso kafran. Again, we have to study the sugya of huchso kafran. You know, to what extent, and at what point he could do tshuva and he could reinstate himself. Again, there are a million and one questions that flood our minds here about huchso kafran. But the concept is there. Huchso kafran means we no longer consider his arguments in Beis Din. And if another claim comes up against him and he denies that claim, his denial is worthless, which is going to make it a lot easier to pull money out of his pocket. Normally we say, if I want to force you to pay, I have to deduce the highest level of evidence. That's not so in the case of a person who's hooks on kafra, because we know that he has a tendency to fabricate the truth and to deny what he paid, what he really owes you. And not only that, a huksa kafran, it's very interesting. If after he's a huksa kafran, because Adam testified against him, he starts coming up with another claim. Let's say, for example, I ask Reuven for $1,000. You borrowed $1,000. Reuven says to me, in front of a Beis Din, I never borrowed $1,000. The whole thing is a lie. Then two Edim testify that he borrowed $1,000. He becomes a Huxa Kafran. So now he says, wait a minute. What I meant to say was that I paid you back. Oh, no. That's completely invalid. We throw that out of court. Why? Because he has the status of a Humsa Kafra. So again, in the presence of three Dayanim, even though they were Hedyotos, if he denies the claim, he can no longer come back and substitute a second claim, because the Edom came to testify that his claim was a fabrication of the truth. He's a Hufsah Kafron. We're not going to accept any of his arguments henceforth. But if, on the other hand, he was kofar in front of one Dayan, even though that Dayan was a Mumcha L'Rabim and was a Samuch, that's not called a Kfira, and we could accept any argument he puts forth henceforth in Beis. Now we're studying the Tur. The Tur, at the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, quotes the Rambam that a Yochid Mumcha is not considered a Beis Din, and he says that my father had a different approach. And if you read the words of the Rosh, he says, there's no difference between a Yochid Mumcha and Gimel Hedyotos. If the Torah validates the Din of a Yochid Mumcha, then what it means is that he has the status of a Beis Din. He's equal to Gimel Hedyotos. And that means that Hodah Bifnehem would be a Hodah, Kfira Bifnehem would be a Kfira, and it makes him into a, if Adam testifies, it's a Huxah Kafra. All the laws that apply to a Beis Din, according to the Rosh, apply to a Yochid Mumcha. And the logic is compelling, because the Rosh says, how can you differentiate between a Beis Din and someone who has the capacity to give a judgment, and the judgment is valid? If the Torah is validating that judgment, it's binding, it's irreversible, it must be that he has the status of a Beis Din. And it's interesting, because at this point in time, when we see the facts on the ground, the Rambam has not invoked any source to prove that a Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din. It's something that he created out of the originality of his own thinking. But the Rosh never had that thinking. So we have now, just to summarize, in the light of the Tur, a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh as to what's the status of a Yochid Mumcha. Is he a Beis Din with all the dinim of a Beis Din, or no, it's a separate halacha that he can dan, his judgment is valid, but he's not a Beis Din. Okay. Now at this point we want to quote a famous Rambam. You may remember I mentioned this Rambam when we first started learning Sanhedrin. This is a Rambam, not in Hilchas Sanhedrin, but in Hilchas Molochim. And the Brisker Rav has a very interesting insight into this Rambam. The Rambam says, "Ein ma'amidim melech b'tchila el al pi beis din shel shivim zekenim." To appoint a king, we need an agreement, a decision of the High Court of Shivim Zekenim. And this is the first mission in Masechta Sanhedrin. Not only do we need a decision, the approval of Beis Din, of the Shivim V'Echad, we also need a Navi. And the Rambam illustrates this. Ki Yoshua Shemino Moshe Rabbeinu Beis Dino. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yoshua together with his Beis Din. So Moshe Rabbeinu plays the role of a Navi. Right, he received a prophecy that Yoshua is going to carry on the leadership of Klal Yisrael. But could Moshe Rabbeinu, based on the status, his status as a Navi, would that suffice for him to appoint Yoshua as a king? Because we said before, there are two conditions that have to be met for Midi Melech. Number one, you need the approval of Beis Din HaGadol. And number two, you need a Navi. So Moshe Rabbeinu certainly fulfills the condition of a Navi. Right? He's the Adon HaNaviim. But what about the second condition? Namely, you need a Beis Din. What's the answer, says the Rambam?
Shover Shivim Zekenim, doesn't
it? Oh, that's going to be the Brisker Rav's Kasha. But what does the Rambam say before the Brisker Rav? The Rambam says, Mino Moshe Rabbeinu U Beis Dino. In other words, since the Rambam opens up this halach by telling you the precondition for appointing a king is that he has to have the approval of Beis Din, therefore, and the Rambam wants to illustrate this in the case of Moshe appointing Yoshua, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu U Beis Dino. effect of Briska Rav, I don't understand what's going on. By the way, this week we're going to read Parashas Paloscha, and if you, I don't know if we have it here, but if not, I'll bring it in. We have the Briska Rav's insights on the Torah. So right here in Parashas Paloscha, he asks the following question: why does the Rambam need to tell me? Why does Rambam need, let's put it that way, why does Rambam need the condition that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together a Beis Din in order to get their approval and appoint Yoshua as the king? Why couldn't Moshe alone, without any other judges, appoint Yoshua as a melech? To Moshe bimkom ayin aleph koi. Okay, this is sugya in a few places, that Moshe had the status of a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. He himself is a one-man show. He is an embodiment of the Sanhedrin HaGedolah. If that be the case, then if he approved, which obviously he did, and he's a Novi, so we have both conditions fulfilled, why did the Ram have to add the condition, Moshe Rabbeinu u Beis Dino? That was the Briska Rav's question.
You also need Orim B'Tumim?
I don't know. If you have a Ram Hilchus Melachim, I can look that up. I poshut did not bring the Ram.
That's Melchama. I think you need all three.
Like, if you have a Ram Hilchus Melachim, I'll look it up in a jiv. But the Briska Rav wants to say the following: that Moshe Rabbeinu's status as a one-man show, as a Bezin Shalal and Aleph, that was not Li'ol Me'ad. That was not always the case. It was only until Moshe Rabbeinu got the command of Isfu Li Shivim Zekanim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to gather together 70 Zekanim and appoint them as the Beis Din, from that moment on, Moshe's status as the Beis Din of Ayin Aleph was removed. Hence, at the point at the end of his career, in the last year in the Midbar, when Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yoshua, he no longer had that status of Ayin Aleph. But at this point, the Briska Rav has something else to add to the equation. And he says the following. Now this is in the name of his brother, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Right, you all know that the Briska Rav and Rav Moshe were brothers. They were both sons of Rav Chaim Brisker. And Rav Moshe was actually my father's Rebbe. My father learned by him for 5 years. And he married off my parents. So he says in the name of his brother Rav Moshe, Shenistapek, that Rav Moshe vacillated about the following question: Ha'im Moshe Hayirak b'makom bimkom, meaning a substitute for Beis Din Shel Ayin Aleph, Avlo Haya bimkom Beis Din Shel Shlosha, oh, Dehayelo gam din shel bezin shel shlosha, likol davish itzok bezin shel shlosha. So I'll just repeat the suffix of Rav Moshe, and then you'll tell me if you're satisfied, if you feel comfortable with Rav Moshe's vacillation. Rav Moshe vacillates. What's the status of Moshe as an upgraded bezin? Is that mean that he has the status of a bezin shel ayin aleph? But whenever you need a bezin of gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot replace a Beis Din Shel Gimel? Or do we say no? Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of a Beis Din Shel Gimel. Does anything bother you about that suffix? What would be your intuitive response? Yeah, it's a kamachor. If Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of the highest court in the land, he's equal to 70. This. So why shouldn't he be enough for a Beis Din of Gimel? So, in order to explain this suffix of Rav Moshe, Rav David Soloveitchik, who would be a nephew of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, a son of the Briska Rav, the nephew of Rav Moshe. So he says the following. But I'm a little confused here because Rav David is still alive, isn't he? So this is somebody else then, because he adds Zatzal, you know. Anyway. So Rav David wants to suggest the following explanation of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And he says the following. The Beis Din shel Shlosha tzarich gimel dayanim upachos mi gimel dayanim lo havi cheftza shel Beis Din. Lo shaykh al zeh Moshe Bimkom Bezdin Shal Shlosha. Aval Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph Havi Maila Bezdin De Al Yidei Zeh Havi Bezdin Choshev. He's saying the following, that Bezdin Shal Ayin Aleph is not like a brand new entity. The status or the recognition of a Bezdin is a Bezdin Shal Gimel. We need a Bezdin for certain things in jurisdiction in certain areas, a chosh of a Bezdin, a very significant Bezdin. And normally, to get that significance and jump and pass the gap between a regular Bezdin and a Bezdin Choshev, we need 71 elders. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, his addition to a Bezdin allows that Bezdin to be upgraded to the status of a Bezdin Choshev, namely a Bezdin of 71. So if that be the case, let's go back to the case of Minu Melech. In Minu Melech, we need a Bezdin Choshev, correct? Because Ein Ma'amidim Minu Melech Ela B'fnei Shiva V'yecha. So we need a Bezdin Choshev. Well, a Bezdin Choshev is an extension. I don't know, that's not a good word. Help me out with the English here. It's on a pyramid. You know, it's the pinnacle of a pyramid.
Hierarchy, though, it's more on a hierarchy.
Yeah, it's a hierarchy that's built on fundamentals. You first have to start with the basics. What do you need basically? A Bezdin. You know, you can only add the chashivas once you start with a Bezdin. Now, a Bezdin as an entity of a Bezdin, he calls it a chefs. So Bezdin requires how many judges? Three judges. So Moshe, with all due respect, has a lot of chashivas, but he's not a walk-in Bezdin. He's not a Bezdin on his own. For that, you need three judges. Now, if that be the case, then any time Moshe Rabbeinu has to implement a decision, the jurisdiction of which is given to a Bezdin HaGadol, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to serve as the Bezdin HaGadol, first he has to be... there has to be a Bezdin. Then when he adds his presence to the Bezdin, or he might be one of the three judges, then he upgrades the status of that Bezdin to what? To a Bezdin Choshev, like it's Ayin Aleph. But again, you have to start with a Bezdin. You can't just start with Chashivus. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has a special status in many different ways, that doesn't make a Bezdin. So when you need a Bezdin, which means you need three judges, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu can't do it alone. He's got to add two judges to the court. Once you have two judges to the court, automatically, since Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting on the court, that court is elevated to the status of a Bezdin Choshev. Is Al Pizeh Bir, now we can understand what the rabbi means by Minu Yoshua Al Yidei Moshe Ubeis Dino. He says, Al Pizeh Bir, Dekdei Sheyochel Al Moshe, Hach Din Dibamokum Ayin, Be'inon Sheyehe Shnayim Imo. You can only get to the point at which Moshe Rabbeinu substitutes or is equal to a Bezdin of 71 if you start with two other judges together with Moshe. Now we have a chalos, we have a status of a Bezdin. Okay, now you have a Bezdin. Well, he came with Moshe Bechal a Bezdin. How many Bezdin shall Choshev? It soars up to the status of Bezdin Choshev. And now it has jurisdiction over cases that require Ayin Aleph Zekanim. Amal Moshe Levado Belish Nayimimo Lo Shaych Lo Medavi B'Mokom Ayin Aleph Do Ayin Ka Bezdin Klal. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the respect, he has great chashivas, but he's not a Bezdin. There's no entity of a Bezdin. When you have the entity of the Bezdin, i.e., you have three judges, and Moshe is one of those three judges, then Moshe's presence is going to raise or upgrade the status of that Bezdin to what? To a Bezdin Choshev, which means it's Ayin Aleph. So now we understand the round that we started with in Hilchos Melachim. Ein ma'amidim melech el al pi bezdin shel shivim zekanim. Ki Yoshua shebino Moshe Rabbeinu u beis dino. What does the Rambam mean by u beis dino? How many judges is the Rambam referring to when he says u beis dino? No, nobody's following me? Right, u beis dino means together with another two judges. He's not referring to u beis dino means a court of 71. The Brisker Rav was bothered. Why did the Rambam say that Moshe Rabbeinu needed his Bezdin in order to appoint Yoshua? Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu alone appoint Yoshua? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of Ayin Aleph, and therefore the Brisker Rav came up with an answer that we're talking after Moshe Rabbeinu already forfeited his status of Ayin Aleph. Isvah Lishiv Mzikain. Name! We don't have to go down that pathway. We could say that Moshe Rabbeinu, even at the appointment of Yoshua, had the status of Ayin Aleph. And when the Rambam writes Moshe Beis Dino, he doesn't mean that Moshe together with his Beis Din of Shivim Zekeimim. That's not what he means. He means Moshe together with another two Dayanim. What good is the other two Dayanim? What function do they serve? To create an entity of a Beis Din, a Cheftishol Beis Din. Oh, now you have a Cheftishol Beis Din, and one of the three judges on the court is none other than Moshe Rabbeinu himself. That jacks up the status of that Beis Din to Beis Din Choshev. Now you have Ayin Aleph. But we're employing the halacha of Moshe Rabbeinu Bimko Ayin Aleph, but at the same time requiring a Beis Din, a Cheftishol Beis Din, which means requiring, in this case, another two judges to join with Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe Rabbeinu joins together with two other judges, now what we have in front of us is not a Beis Din of three, but rather a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. Wow. I don't know if you're excited about that. I mean, this to me is like, this is candy. Or as you call it, sweets, I guess, right? I have to know, you know, with my clients on Shabbos, you know, whether I'm giving out sweets or I'm giving out candies, you know, depends. All right. So again, this is fascinating because we come to the following conclusion. That the Rambam holds you need three judges to create a Cheftishol Beis Din. Moshe Rabbeinu's presence is not going to substitute for a Cheftishol Beis Din. V'nireh, Rambam l'tameh. All this fits into one beautiful package, one package or one picture, because the Rambam holds that unless you have three Dayanim, you can have the greatest mumcha in the world, he still is not a Beis Din. And that the Rambam had nafkaminis about Hodah Bifneim and Kfira. Is the Rambam holds that Moshe is not considered a substitute for Beis Din Shel Shlosha. Beis Din Shel Shlosha being in Gimel Dayanim, Pachas being Gimel Dayanim, Lo Avichem Shel Beis Din. K'mo Chein. This is a reflection of the Rambam Shita that Yochid Mumcha lo chashiv bimko Beis Din Shel Shlosha. That Yochid Mumcha is not a Beis Din of Shlosha. He can issue a verdict, and we have to recognize his verdict, it's binding, but it's not a Beis Din, it's not a verdict of a Beis Din, there's no entity of a Beis Din here. So you can call Moshe of Yochid Mumcha with all due respect, and he has the highest echelon, the highest status, but a Cheftishol Beis Din he can't be, we need three judges for that. That's the Rambam Shita. Is Memela Yochid Mumcha can issue a decision, but not as a Beis Din. Now let's go back to the Tur. The Tur quotes his father, the Rush. And the Rush, if you remember, held that a Yochid Mumcha has the status of a Beis Din. So then according to the Rush, what words in the Rambam have to be crossed out with regard to the meaning of Yoshua? Ubeis Dino, you following? The Rush would leave out those words, Ubeis Dino. Moshe could appoint Yoshua without anyone else's help. Because the sheet of the Rush is that a Yochid Mumcha has the identical status of a Beis Din. So we already have an entity of a Beis Din. With Moshe alone. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu adds to the chashivas of the Beis Din and jacks it up to the status of a Beis Din of Ayin Aleph. Then there's no reason why Moshe Rabbeinu would need any colleagues to join him on a Beis Din in order to appoint Yoshua as a Melech. Hence, we're back to the Brisker Rav's kasha. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu need two judges? Could be that according to the Rush, he didn't need two judges. But even if you assume he needed two judges, the Rush is going to the Brisker Rav is going to say that, well, let me do a later historical period after the Moshe Rabbeinu already forfeited his status, etc., etc. So therefore, the paragraph that starts Vehine Ladas HaRush. The Yochid Mumcha Choshev Beis Din Shel Shlosha Bevada Yochid Mumcha Kosher LeKabbalas Eidus. Here's your question, Daniel. What about Kabbalas Eidus? Kabbalas Eidus requires a Beis Din. There's no way, no how, that two witnesses can testify outside of Beis Din. Any testimony outside of Beis Din is the same as writing their Eidus on a cloth. It's Mipi Avolom Mipi Ksava. Beis Din means the Haggadah of Eidus has to be in front of Beis Din. So what happens according to the Rambam Lishitasa, and according to the Rosh Lishitasa, in the case of a judgment of a Yochid Mumcha. Now, how is the Yochid Mumcha going to judge in monetary law unless there's Eidus? So Bishlam, according to the Rosh, I have no problem. The Eidim could testify in front of the Yochid Mumcha, because the Rosh identifies the Yochid Mumcha as what? As a Bezdin. That's why the Rosh says that any Hodah in front of Yochid Mumcha is binding. And therefore the Rosh would say that Moshe Rabbeinu alone, as a single effort, he can appoint Yoshua, because he has the status of a Bezdin, not only a Bezdin, but not Bezdin of Ayin Al. Well, if a Yochid Mumcha has the status of a Bezdin, then the Yochid Mumcha could receive the testimony of two Eidim. But now we get to the Rambam Shita. This is much more complicated. The Rambam says that Yochid Mumcha, with all due respect, he can issue a verdict, but he doesn't have the status of a Bezdin. If he doesn't have the status of a Bezdin, what's going to be lacking over here? Kabbalas Eidus. Everybody follow that? Again, this is just like modus tollens, you know, just simple logic. If I assume that Kabbalas Eidus requires a Bezdin, if I assume that a Yochid Mumcha is not a Bezdin, then therefore a Yochid Mumcha cannot be Mekabel Eidus. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that logic. So now, what does it mean when a Yochid Mumcha judges and he cannot be Mekabel, he cannot be Mekabel the Eidim? So the Shach is so bothered by this that he comes to the conclusion that there's going to be a two-stage process here. That it's not that the judgment is going to come in front of Yochid Mumcha A, from soup to nuts, from A to Z, and that's the whole picture. Then we're going to have what? First, we're going to have a Bezdin. The Bezdin is going to have to accept the testimony to Eidim. And then, once the testimony is binding, now the Yochid Mumcha, on his own, could decide the case. Very complicated.
Isn't that similar to the Nefosh, the Bezdin 23, they could be Kabbalas Eidus in 3?
Maybe the same thing should apply to.
I think that's before Sanhedrin.
Yeah, the same thing should apply to Dina Fashis, that we don't need a Bezdin of Chaf Gimel to accept the Eidim. And that
from Yochid Mumcha, the Bezdin of 3.
Three. So if you have a Bezdin of 3, that's Kabbalas Eidus. Here we're going to have a Dini Mominis case with a Kabbalas Eidus of three judges. Then those three judges go home, Shalom Al Yisrael. And now we have a Yochid Mumcha. He could judge and issue a decision based on the Kabbalas Eidus that took place in front of a Bezdin. I mean, the rush is much simpler.
You know? Extend the bench, so to speak. You bring in.
Correct. It could be that you start with the Yochid Mumcha, and then for the Kabbalas Eidus, we're going to invite two more other judges.
Yeah.
And after the Kabbalas Eidus, those two other judges can go fly a kite. All right, we shouldn't talk about kites these days, but okay. Now, the Nesivus is not happy with this. The Nesivus can't imagine that you're going to have two Eidim for Kabbalah, two extra judges for Kabbalah's Eidus, and then the Yochid Mumcha is going to judge and issue a verdict. So the Nesivus argues against the Shach, and he writes the following. The Yochid Mumcha kosher l'Kabbalah's Eidus, af l'das haram. This is a revolution of sorts. Because how can you accept the Rambam that a Yochid Mumcha is not a Bezdin, and then turn around and say the Yochid Mumcha can receive the Eidim? We need a Bezdin for the Eidim. So he says the following. Kevan shemutal oladun, this we should underline, Kevan shemutal oladun, is Yochid l'kabel Eidus kedin kedei ladun. The halacha that Eidus has to take place in front of Bezdin is not an absolute halacha. What it means is that whatever decision has to be made and whatever final verdict has to be issued, you have to allow for Kabbalas Eidus. Now, under normal conditions, the decision is going to be handed down by a Bezdin, so that Bezdin is going to accept the Eidus. If Lu Yitzuyer, you could have a decision that's made without a Bezdin, then that body, that entity, could also be Mekabel Eidus. Because Kabbalas Eidus is only a preliminary stage, if you will, for the ultimate din. So anyone who's kosher l'din has to be kosher for Kabbalah's Eidus. So even the Rambam now, according to the Nesivos, is going to allow for the Yochid Mumcha to accept to it.
So mitoch rather than kid.
It's mitoch sheyochel l'adun is yochel Kabbalah Eidus. That's the Nesivos. The Shach says then. The Shach says there's a separate halacha. The Kabbalah's Eidus as an entity, as an enterprise, requires a bezdin. The Rambam admits that a yochid mumcha, with all due respect, he could ban, but he's not a bezdin. So you have to add two judges, as we said before. That's the Shach Shita. The Rambam becomes very choppy. You know, yeah, stage one and stage two. It's stage one, we kabbalate them with two other judges, then they go home, and it's stage two, and the Yochid Mumcha issues. The Siva says, forget the whole thing. You want to know why you need a Bezdin for Kabbalah Seders? Because otherwise, how is the Bezdin going to implement a decision unless they are empowered with the authority to receive the Eidus? He says, but if Lu Yitzu, you have the authority that's granted to someone who's not a Bezdin, and that's the Rambam Shita on Yochid Mumcha, he has the authority to be Mekabel Eidus. You can't have a situation, according to the Sivis, where you can have a din and a judgment and not be able to be Mekabel the Eidus. That's the Shita of the Nesivos. Alright, we don't have too much time left, but I would like to see if at least we can fit in the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav claims that he has a proof against the Nesivos that it's not A generates B, that because you can dan, therefore you could be Makabal Eidus. Lo sagi l'kabal Eidus b'fnei misha roi lo dun. He has a proof that you need a bezdin for Kabbalah's Eidus. And here's a brilliant proof. The same demands of Eidus that apply in monetary law apply in a Dover Sheberva. Like two, let's say two witnesses are testifying that this woman had an extramarital affair, right? That she had snus. So just like in Didi Mamonos, there's no Eidus to force someone to pay money unless you have two witnesses, so too you need two witnesses to determine that a woman is an Erva, that she violated her modesty, right? Fekta Brisker Rav, why do you need two Eidim to testify about this woman, that she's an Eish HaSish HaZinsa, based on Yalfin and Dovah Dovah Mimamon? We don't need a Horas Bezdin in order to determine that she's Asur al Baila. Right? If she had this relationship, she can no longer live with her husband. Ain't Tzarech Psach Shel Bezdin to have Horas Isur Vehet of Asagi V'yachil Horas Adin. One individual could be Mora Hora on the Din in a Dovah Sheberva. And he could paskin that she has to get a divorce from her husband, or whatever the case may be in the Dovah Sheberva. Yet, the Kabbalah's Eidus we derive from the Gzeirah Shavah Dovah Dovah Rabban has to be in front of two Eidim. So here's a case where you could have a din and a psak with a ruling of one individual, and yet the Kabbalah's Eidus requires three judges in a bezdin. It's not the Nesivos. The Nesivos was saying that if you can arrive at a final conclusion and issue a din that's binding, then that entity that can issue that din can also accept the Eidus. Ipso facto, correct? Except the Eidus is intertwined with the din. Here's a case where on the one hand the din is established, is paskened up by a single Mora Hora, one single Rav, and yet the Kabbalah's Eidus, based on the Gzeirshav of Dovah Dovah Mimon, has to take place in front of a Bezdin of three judges. So I thought that the Nesivos would not be bothered by this. With all due respect to the Brisker Rav, the Nesivos himself is talking about Bezdin for Dini Mamonos. He's not talking about Issa V'Heter. In Issa V'Heter, you could have different laws. That, you know, the Hora is Hora, and the Hora doesn't mean that the Mora Hora was able to, or had the authority vested in him to accept two Eidim. No. The Mora Hora means that you're going to tell the people and guide them as to what they have to do according to the moral, legal laws of the Torah. That's not what the Nesivus is talking about. The Nesivus is talking about a genuine din in Dini Mominos, where adjudicating between two litigants, you know, the plaintiff and the defendant, we're determining who's Zakai and who's Chayev. In that process, says the Nesivus, you have to allow the Dayan, who's going to issue a din, to do whatever he has to do in order to produce that din. So if he's Roy Ladun, that means he can produce a din, then he's Roy Lekabel Sa'edim. But that has nothing to do with Oras Issa Veheter. In Oras Issa Veheter, it's wonderful that you can go to any Mora Ora and get yourself a guidance as to what the Torah law is, but that's not a din. And it never required three judges. There was never a halacha of three judges in Dovr Sheveva. Dovr Sheveva doesn't even appear in that Mishnah Sanhedrin because it doesn't require three judges. Again, in order to testify, there's a separate halacha, you need testimony in front of a Beis Din, or alternatively, in front of someone who's going to issue a din. So let's see it inside. Ulam Hanesiva Sovet Delo Be'inan Beis Din Kabbalah's Eidus Sagi Mashah Hayed Bifnei Shariu Don. But again, that only applies in the case of Dini Mominos, in the case of Issa Veheter, Horas Din. We would not say that since he's a Roy Ladun, therefore he can be Roy to Kabbal Eidus, because that's not a Din.
Rabbi, what's this Emma case? How do you classify that?
Again, let's say a case of a married woman and she's being suspected of having another relationship, right? I'll tell you why it's not Issa Veheter. Because in Issa Veheter, you could use all sorts of proofs in order to determine, like there are chazakas and there are robes. So I don't know if this means
witnesses, anything like that.
You don't need witnesses, right? For example, if I shecht an animal and I tell you I shechted it properly, you don't need witnesses. That's Issa Veheter. But in Dovr Sheveva, we have a hekesh to mamon, right? That's called Dovr Dovr mi mamon. And that means that we need absolute proof, which is two eidim. Now the question is, can we drop the requirement of a Beis Din because one Rav is Roy Ladun? And that's where the Brisker Rav wanted to point out that the halacha of this Gzeirah Shavah Dover Dover Mimon teaches me that in the Dover Shavah Erva we must have a Beis Din to accept the Eidim. These Eidim are testifying on a Dover Shavah Erva.
The Gzeirah Shavah teaches me two Eidim. There's a Gemara wherever it does bring it, say you need actually a Beis Din in the covenant. Why?
Yeah.
Why come this single Rav the Mekabel those two Eidim? If that's.
So that's what I'm saying. The Brisker Rav thought that since the halacha establishes that you need a Beis Din for all Eidus, Mamon and Erva, based on this Gzeirah Shavah,
the extension of Hilchos Eidus is two Eidim and three from the Kabbal.
Correct. And that's the halacha in Dini Mamonos, and by virtue of the Gzeirah Shavah, we graft that onto Dovr Sheveva. Now the Brisker Rav has a problem with the Nesivus.
Yeah.
Because the Nesivus says that if you're Roy Ladun, then you're Roy Lekabel Eidus.
Yeah.
And that doesn't hold water in the case of a Dovr Sheveva. All right, Rabbi, so we'll stop here. I'd like to keep within the time limit. And Belin Ender will try to finish this up next week. Again, if you could be here on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is set in stone, you'll let me know. Okay, I have to send out emails, and I know there were other people who expressed interest, and I have to just somehow engineer this. Okay, then?
Good.
Okay.
It's not done. It's not a din. It's psak.
Correct. It's a ra's din. I mean, you don't need a samuch, and you don't need a beis din, and
it's not even
let's say we were related, and you came to me for a ra's isa behetar. I can give you a ra even though we're related. If it was a din,
you can become a woman's aidus.
Correct. Eight echadim bisurin according to some rishonim, even in woman. I don't know if all rishonim, but definitely according to some.
You get now mashgichot in restaurants,
right? But that probably is based on another principle called biyado. I don't know if that's based on eight echadim bisurin. Although some rishonim would say eight echadim bisurin is good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I'll wish you all a great day.